This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Well, I think, as usual, God is so clever. He has a theme this morning, and Bruce has done an excellent introduction to my message during the communion service. Who are you? Who are you? I've actually got the answer for you this morning. And Bruce had the answer, shared that during the communion. The title of my message this morning is, I am a child of God. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. So would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I'm just going to read for us verses 1 to 13. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation this morning. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And this life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. But as many as received him, the New King James says, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. But all who have believed and accepted him. So my question, first of all, to you this morning is, have you believed? Have you believed in him? Have you accepted him? Now, I want us to consider belief. There's three aspects to belief that I want to just cover first of all. There is that belief that we believe that something exists. Do you all believe that I exist? Right. You can see me. You believe that I exist. I believe that the chairs exist. I believe that the lights exist. I can believe that something exists. Lots of people believe that Jesus existed, that Jesus was a man. A lot of people believe that God exists, but they're not his children and they're not born again. Just simply believing that God exists, that God is real, is not enough. The second part to believing is actions that prove your belief. If you truly believe in me and in all that I am, if you believe in me, you would feel safe driving in my car. You'd put your life in my hands. Who's done it? And they've survived. That proves that you believe in my ability. If you truly believed in me, you'd give me all your money. That would really show whether you believed in me or not. That's more than believing that I exist. That's believing in who I am. That's believing in my ability. That's putting action to your belief. There's a third part to believing, and that's to keep on believing. Keep on believing every day, every time. It's not enough to believe once. You keep on believing. If you keep on believing in me, you'll keep on driving with me, or you'll keep on letting me have your money, or you'll keep on trusting what I say. So it's not enough to just believe that God exists. And it's not even enough to just put your faith in him once and trust him once. It's to keep on believing in every circumstance, every time, every day, day after day, step after step, situation after situation, to keep on believing. That's why the Bible talks so much about perseverance and about pressing on and enduring and staying in the race and keeping in the race and encouraging each other to keep on keeping on. Do you know, even the devil, even the demons believe in Jesus. Even the demons, even the devil know that God exists. There are people in the world today, and maybe even sitting in here this morning, I don't know, who believe that God is right and real and true. But that doesn't mean that you're born again. That doesn't mean you're a child of God. You may have believed him once or twice. But do you believe him today? Do you believe him right now? Will you keep on believing in him? That's to all who have believed, to all who have accepted, they have been given the right to be called sons of God. Now that word right, that is privilege. It is a privilege to be called a son of God. And I just want to remind you that when I say son, there's no gender, you know, we're living in a world of gender, I don't even know what you call it, gender fluidity, gender. There's, you know, we are all sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're talking about his children. I'm talking about his children. And it's a privilege to be called a child of God. It's a privilege. 1 Peter 1:12 says this, "And now the good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen." Do you know the angels look at us and think, "That's amazing. They are children of God." They're excited about the things that are happening in our life. Albert Barnes says this, that to be a child of God is a privilege, far more so than to be the child of any human being. Though in the highest degree rich or learned or honoured, Christians are therefore more honoured than any other person. God gave them this privilege. It is not by their own works or their own desert. It's because God chose to impart his blessing, this blessing to them. This favour is given only to those who believe on him. Those who believe that he is, those who believe he can do and is what he says he can do and who he is, and those who keep on believing. My encouragement and I want to encourage you and urge you and spur you on this morning to keep on believing. Every day, in every circumstance, you are a child of God. I want to have a quick look at three characteristics of a son of God. They are, number one characteristic is you're born again. Number two, you're like him. And number three, you're united to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the three things that we're just going to spend a bit of time looking at this morning. Number one, I'm a son of God because I've been born again. John 3:3 says this, "I tell you the truth," this is Jesus speaking, "unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." I'm born again. Have any of you ever done your family tree? Started doing it. It can be a big task, right? I have this book here, and this is my mother's side. It's her mother's side of the family tree, and it goes from 1865 to 2006, and this is the family tree of the Raymers and the Menzels. And I am in this book on page 29. I'll just show you. I am listed right down the bottom. My name is in the family tree. That's awesome, isn't it? I can't trace my family tree through my father's side, my natural father's side. My dad didn't know who his dad was. And so that for me has always been a bit of a mystery. It's just an interest. I would like to, you know, that's sort of interesting, right, to be able to trace your family tree. And I know in this congregation this morning there's many different family trees, many different scenarios and things that have happened in your families. But in my particular case, I cannot trace my heritage through my father's line. He doesn't know who his father is. And that can be difficult. That's been difficult over the time, over my life, just because it's been a curiosity, you know, medical things, and my children have asked. My mum, we know lots about my mum's family, and it's just interesting stuff. But my dad, I can never find out. But what I do know is I know my heavenly father. The truth is that I belong to God's family. I've been born again. I can trace my family tree. It's in this book. And in Revelation, it tells me that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when that's read out on the day and Jesus goes through and looks for my name, it will be there. Praise God. Karen Ann Jaspers, born again on this and this day. Is your name going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life? I can trace my family tree. There's no missing pieces. I know my father. There's no missing pieces. I know the family business. Coming up to the Christmas season, we're often reminded of the fact that Mary and Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem in Judea for the census that Augustus, the Roman emperor, had decreed. Family trees and heritage were of great value and importance in those times. And the Bible is full of genealogies. Right, if you've ever tried to read through some of the Old Testament, you'll see that. You might be able to trace your natural family tree through your father's line, but the truth is everyone has sinned. Even if you had a perfect father, even if you know all of your natural heritage, the truth is all have fallen short of the glory of God, but we all have one perfect father. I have been reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. I have the privilege of being able to call God Father. And let me tell you, He's a good Father. He's a perfect Father. He's perfect in all of His ways. He does know what I need before I even need it. He goes before me and makes a way. He corrects me when I need correcting. He doesn't give me everything I want when I want it. He gives me exactly what I need when I need it. He's a good Father. So I am a son of God. I am a child of God because I have been born again. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I stake my life on it every day. I'm a son of God because I'm like Him. And I'm looking around this room this morning and I can see the family. You might not all look the same in your physical features, but I see the family resemblance when we worship together this morning. I could hear the family resemblance. We talk the same language. We think like our father. We talk like our father. We act like our father. In my natural family, I've got two sisters, and I'm sure that I've shared this with you before. And my sister, one in particular, Jenny, the next sister down, she's in this book too. She's in there. We are so similar. And we can still trick our children. And our grandchildren, my grandchildren, were so confused when my sister came to visit recently from Perth because we just sound the same. We do the same things. We have the same mannerisms. Now, we live thousands of kilometres away from each other, and we have done for many years now. I've lived in Victoria. I've been married for 33 years. I haven't lived in the same house with my sister for a long time, and we live thousands of kilometres away from each other, yet there's something in our DNA, right? We sound the same. We talk the same mannerisms. When my mum was here, was my husband recently, just when my mum and my two sisters were here and we were all in the same house, Charlie just sat back and let it all happen. He was just like, okay, you'll find me in a week. I'll be over there. And it was amazing. Even I was amazed at how much we were alike, even though we didn't get to spend physically a lot of time together. But it was in our DNA. It's in our DNA, church. We're the children of God. And I'm talking the whole church, God's family, worldwide. We sound the same. We behave the same. We have the same mannerisms. We react the same to situations. I am a son of God because I am like him. How does that happen? How do we become like him? It happens by the renewing of our mind. It happens by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Romans 12:2 tells us, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be like the world, in other words, be like your father. Have a look in your family tree. Oh, all my pages are falling out now. Have a read through Hebrews 11. And have a look at what some of your ancestors did. They're in your family tree, the heroes of faith, Abraham, Sarah, Noah, Moses. All of these people are in your family tree because you've been born again. Have a look in there. See what your father thinks. See what he, how he wants you to behave. Start, you read like this, you're going to start to talk like he talks. You're going to start to think like he thinks. You know, it's so true. What we put in comes out of us. And the world can see the family resemblance. What does the Bible tell us? The world will know them by their love for one another, by their fruit, by their love for one another. I see the family resemblance when I look around the room this morning. I see it in your lives when I hear about the situations that you're going through, when I hear about the difficulties, yet you're choosing to believe. You're behaving like a child of God. You're talking like a child of God. You're walking like a child of God. I can see and hear the family resemblance. I'm a son of God because I'm united to the Lord Jesus. You're a child of God because you've been united with the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:26-29. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. You are all children of God through your faith in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:9-15 says this, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. That's an amazing scripture. You need to have a Selah moment about that and stop and think about that. In Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. So think about what that means. If you're united with Christ and the fullness of God is in Christ, therefore the fullness of God is in you. You look like your dad. You sound like your dad. You behave like your dad. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted, you believed, You acted upon that. You trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sin. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Hallelujah. That is amazing. I don't know about you, but the record of charges that was against me was long. There was a record of charges against me. And I couldn't say it wasn't my fault. I couldn't say that wasn't fair. I couldn't say it was somebody else. I couldn't say it was my circumstances or what someone else did to me. It was legally against me. And if I had to go to court with that record of charges, I would have been found guilty as charged. And so would you have been. Guilty as charged. And Christ, who is without sin, took that record and nailed it to the cross. And it's now gone, paid in full. And so any time I have condemnation, where the enemy brings condemnation against me, take him straight to the cross. Say, there's my record of charges. Done. Paid in full. God is good. I am a child of God because I'm born again. Because I look like him. Because I'm united to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is our Father. We are his children. I really believe this morning that God wanted me to remind us that if we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are his children. We are God's children. That is the message that God has for you today. And I know in this season coming up that, you know, family is often can be difficult. Family can be difficult. For some people, it's a joyful time when families get together, family that we don't get to see very often. Sometimes it can be difficult, but God wants to remind you that you're part of his family. Resemblance. He has transplanted you. You know, Psalm 1. Let's have a look at Psalm 1 for a minute. I'll just go there if I can find it. Here it is. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither and they prosper in all they do. They are like trees planted along the riverbank. It's like that tree was somewhere else and now it's been planted by the riverbank. And that's what God's done for us. We were not in his family. And he has adopted us into his family. We're born again. And now we're planted near that river. Trees of water of living water is what I'm trying to say. Our roots are going down deep. And I really believe this morning that God wanted to remind us. We heard it in communion. Bruce and I did not plan that at all. God planned that. I hear him reminding us. I don't know who needs to hear it. For one, I think it's really important that we all remember God wants to remind us it's not enough to just believe that he exists. I think if you walked down and surveyed people in the main street, a lot of them would still surprise you and say they believe there is a God. They blame him for a lot of things, so they must believe that he's there. Blame him for everything that goes wrong. People believe in God, but they don't believe in him. They believe that he exists. He wants to remind us today, believe in who I am. Believe in everything that I've promised you, he says. Believe in all the words I've spoken over you. Believe and put your money where your mouth is. Put your life in his hands. Live a life worthy of the calling. Behave like you believe it. Behave like you believe him. Behave like you trust in him. And keep on believing. Keep on believing in him. You have been given the privilege of being called sons of God. I used to think that, and I'm finished, we're not going to, God gave me a simple message for you this morning, and that's the message. But I want to just finish with this. God, in recent times, you know, I've had this thought probably for most of my Christian life that I've had hold of God. I've got you, God, and I'm not letting go. But he's shown me recently that's not totally accurate. That's true. There are times when I hang on to God, but there's times when I let go of him too. The truth behind that is that he's got hold of me. He has got hold of me. And he has got hold of you today. That's the message I'm hearing from him for us this morning. We are his children. We've been given the privilege of being called the sons and daughters of God. Let's behave like it. Let's live like it. Let's believe in him and trust in him and keep on pressing on. Keep on, and let's walk around like it is a privilege. Sometimes when I look at the family of God, I think, I don't know if it's, they don't look so happy to be part of the family of God, right? Let's show the world that it's a privilege to be called a child of God. And he's got hold of us, church. We've heard it this morning. We have an open heaven. God has his eye on us and his ear is inclined to us. He wants to act strong on our behalf. There's so many things that he still wants to do in Mombolk, in Australia, in the world. It's not all downhill from here, church. There's a bright and glorious hope for us. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are a good, good Father. And I thank you for the reminder this morning that it is a privilege to be called a child of God. Thank you that you have hold of us, that you have reached down, your arm is not short. You've reached out and you have a hold of us and you've called us to yourself. I thank you that you even gave us the ability to believe in you. You give us everything we need. You've given us the ability to believe in you. And I pray that Mombolt Christian Fellowship, each one of us here would be a people who the world can see which family we belong to, that the world would see the family resemblance, that they would see sons and daughters who look like their dad, who talk like their dad, who behave like their dad. You're a good father, and we want to thank you for who you are and what you do by living our lives like we should. Children of the Most High God, confident in their Father, confident in his word, confident that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, confident that they have a hope and a future secure. We want to bring many and introduce many more into the family of God.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombolt Christian Fellowship.